नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 11, text number from 6 to 18, since 6 to 11, 17 verses have no purport. This chapter is entitled The Transcendental Qualities of Ritrasura. First, I'll read all the text till we come to the text which has a purport. Evam saraganan kruddo bhishayan vapusa ripun vendat सुमह प्राणो येन लोका विचेतसः तेन देवगणा सर्वे वृत्त विस्फोटने वहि निपेतुर मूर्छिता भौम यतैव शनिन हतः ममर्द पद्धाभ सुरसैन्यमातुरं निमीलताक्षं रणरंग दुर्मदः गाम कंपयन उद्यत शूल ओजसा नालं वनम युथापतिर्यतोन्मदः विलोक्यतम व्रजधरो उत्यम अत्यमर्षिता स्वशास्त्र वे भिद्रवते महागदाम चिकेशपेतम अपतातिम सुदुस्सहाम जग्राह वामेन करेण लीनया स इंद्रशत्रु कुपितो भृशं तन्या महेन्द्र वाहम गदयोर्विक्रमा जघान कुंभ स्थल उन्नदन मृदे तत्कर्म सर्वे संपूज्यन नृप ऐरावतो व्रत गदाध भृष्टो विघ्रूणितो द्रिही कुलश्यहा तो यथा अपासरद भिन्न मुकसहेन्द्रो मुंचन अस्रक्षप्रटो धनुर्भृशारतः। Sukadeva Goswami said, Vritrasur, the angry and most powerful hero, terrified the demigods with his stout and strongly built body. When he roared with his resounding voice, nearly all living entities fainted. When all the demigods heard Vritrasura's tumultuous roar, which resembled that of a lion, they fainted and fell to the ground as if struck by a thunderbolt. As the demigods closed their eyes in fear, Vritrasura, taking up his trident and making the earth tremble with his great strength, trampled the demigods beneath his feet on the battlefield, the way a mad elephant tramples hollow bamboos in the forest. Seeing Vritrasura's disposition, Indra, the king of heaven, became intolerant and threw at him one of his great clubs, which are extremely difficult to counteract. However, as the club flew towards him, Vritrasura easily caught it with his left hand. O King Parikshit, the powerful Vritrasura, the enemy of King Indra, angrily struck the head of Indra's elephant with that club, making a tumultuous sound on the battlefield. For his heroic deed, the soldiers on both sides glorified him. Struck with the club of Vritrasura like a mountain struck by a thunderbolt, the elephant Airavat, feeling great pain and spitting blood from its broken mouth, was pushed back 14 yards. In great distress, the elephant fell with Indra on its back. When he saw Indra's carrier elephant thus fatigued and injured, and when he saw Indra morose because his carrier had been harmed in that way, the great soul Vritrasura, following religious principles, refrained from again striking Indra with the club. Taking this opportunity, Indra touched the elephant with his nectar-producing hand, thus relieving the animal's pain and curing its injuries. Then the elephant and Indra both stood silently. O King, when the great hero Vritrasura saw Indra, his enemy, the killer of his brother, standing before him with a thunderbolt in his hand, desiring to fight, Vritrasura remembered how Indra had cruelly killed his brother. Thinking of Indra's sinful activities, he became mad with lamentation and forgetfulness. Laughing sarcastically, he spoke as follows. Sri Vritrasura said, he who has killed a Brahmana, he who has killed the spiritual master, indeed, he who has killed my brother, is now by good fortune standing before me, face to face as my enemy. O most abominable one, when I pierce your stone-like heart with my trident, I shall be freed from my debt to my brother. Only for the sake of living in this heavenly planet, you killed my elder brother, a self-realized, sinless, qualified Brahmana, who had been appointed your chief priest. He was your spiritual master. But although you entrusted him with the performance of your sacrifice, you later mercifully severed his head from his body, the way one butchers an animal. Indra, you are bereft of all shame, mercy, glory and good fortune. Deprived of these good qualities by the reactions of your fruit activities, you are to be condemned even by the man-eaters, Rakshasas. Now I shall pierce your body with my trident. And after you die with great pain, even fire will not touch you. Only the vultures will eat your body. You are naturally cruel. If the other demigods, unaware of my prowess, follow you by attacking me with raised weapons, I shall sever their heads with this sharp trident. With those heads I shall perform a sacrifice to Bhairav and the other leaders of the ghost, along with their hordes. Text 18. We'll read this verse. Ato hare me kulishena, to hare me kulishena vira, harta pramatteva shiro yadiha, tatra nruno bhuta balim vidhaya, manasvinam padaraja prapatse. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But if in this battle you cut off my head with your thunderbolt and kill my soldiers, O Indra, O great hero, I shall take great pleasure in offering my body to other living entities, such as jackals and vultures. I shall thus be relieved of my obligations to the reactions of my karma, and my fortune will be to receive the dust from the lotus feet of great devotees like Narada Muni. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, Echai Gosai Yar Muitara Das, Tan Sabar Padarenu Mora Panchagras. I am the servant of the six Goswamis, and the dust of their lotus feet provides my five kinds of food. A Vaishnava always desires the dust of the lotus feet of previous Acharyas and the Vaishnavas. Vritrasur was certain that he would be killed in the battle with Indra, because this was the desire of Lord Vishnu. He was prepared for death because he knew that after his death he was destined to return home back to Godhead. This is a great destination, and it is achieved by the grace of Vaishnava. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paye Chekeva. No one has ever gone back to Godhead without being favored by a Vaishnava. In this verse, therefore, we find the words Manasvinam Padaraja Prapatse. I shall receive the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees. The word Manasvinam refers to great devotees who always think of Krishna. They are always peaceful, thinking of Krishna, and therefore they are called Dhira. The best example of such a devotee is Narada Muni. If one receives the dust of the lotus feet of a Manasvi, a great devotee, he certainly returns back home, back to Godhead. Om Agya Ato Hare Me Kulishe. But if in this battle you cut off me, so Hare Krishna, we wish Maharaj would have spoken, but because of his ill health he is not speaking. One of the very important verse, very powerful verse, very exciting verse. The non-devotees, and simply the seekers of some adventure, they would be very happy to hear the description of the battle. Very exciting battle between some of the greatest heroes. In fact, in the Mahabharata, every time, wherever there is battle mentioned, warriors killing another warrior, they use this as an analogy. Indra killing Vritrasura with his thunderbolt. That's how this battle was so famous in the three worlds. In the history also, you'll find this. So naturally, the act of Vritrasura and Indra fighting between each other, it creates excitement to the mind. But for the Vaishnavas, those who are practicing devotional service, there is greater excitement waiting for in the form of Vritrasura's prayers. It is much more exciting than the battle, because this brings out the character of great devotee like Vritrasura. Even though his position was so bad, on the conditional platform, he was forced to become a demon, a man-eater. A demon, Srila Prabhupada explains in the 7th canto, Hiranyakashipu was a blood-sucker demon. That is their pleasure, to drink the blood of human beings. So what kind of spirituality can we expect from them? When we start practicing devotional service, the first thing we are told to practice the four regulative principles. Not even onion and garlic. And here Vritrasura was man-eating demon. So it is natural that you don't expect any spiritual character from such a person. But it was not his karma, even though he says that it is karma to accept that, the body of a demon. Rather, it was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see while practicing devotional service for a sadhaka, while he is practicing devotional service, there is some kind of punishment for his wrongdoings. And that is very much required. The wrongdoings of a sadhaka gives him a punishment by the higher authority so that he can rectify his mistake. First of all, his mistakes are recognized, and he is told that these are the mistakes you are performing. And consequently, along with that mistake, there is a punishment also. Otherwise, if he is not told about his misdeeds, and if he does not receive punishment from the higher authorities, then his mistakes, what he is performing, the wrong doings, the wrong activities what he is performing, he will justify them as the spiritual activities. In the 6th canto, we will read the pastime of Chitraketu Maharaj. Because after hearing this pastime of Vritrasura being a great devotee, what to speak of Indra, even Parikshit Maharaj, who is a great devotee himself, could recognize other great devotees, was quite flabbergasted. He was surprised. How could someone, a great demon, against the demigods who are the natural servants of the Lord, was a greater devotee than them? How is it possible? That was the question raised by Parikshit Maharaj. And then Sukadeva Goswami explained the background of the story, the previous birth of Vritrasura. He was born as a devotee, Chitraketu Maharaj. And Chitraketu Maharaj performed some wrong. In Prabhupada's purport, some purports Prabhupada says it should have not done like that. In some purport, Prabhupada says actually it was a fun, because there were two good Vaishnavas, Shiva and Chitraketu Maharaj. So they were joking with each other. It should not be taken so seriously. But because Parvati, being the wife of Lord Shiva, she could not tolerate that. And therefore she cursed Chitraketu Maharaj. For a small mistake, the punishment was very severe. She was pushed to become a demon. And even in that demonic condition, Vritrasura's consciousness was not disturbed. That is most wonderful. Even though he was pushed to become a demon, his consciousness remained intact. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, while giving a purport to one of the parts of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains that a devotee of the Lord never falls down. There is no question of falling down for a devotee. One who is engaged in the service of the Lord, he never falls down. And then he raises question, then how Bharat Maharaj and Chitraketu Maharaj became demons? Bharat Maharaj became a deer or an animal, and then Vritrasura, Chitraketu Maharaj became a demon. So how is that? Apparently, they fell down. Even though Shastra is saying that they don't fall down. Falling down means losing one's remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Body does not matter for a devotee. If his body is raised in a low class of family, but his consciousness is connected to Krishna, such birth is desirable. So therefore, Vritrasura, even though he was made to become a demon, immediately, when Shivaji heard Vritrasura's, Chitraketu Maharaj's disposition, he came down. He did not beg forgiveness. Rather, he spoke the situation created by the Lord. He said, "My dear Parvati, my dear mother, actually you cannot curse me. Neither you are responsible for my activity, nor I am responsible. Everything is organized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it is the desire of the Lord, I don't mind accepting this curse." And he walked away. Usually in the mundane world, even to the sadhaka, one who is practicing devotional service, he need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged. And one of the way to encourage a sadhaka, unfortunately, he has to be done like that, by giving a position. We are so attached to position, we are so attached to certain specific, you know, designation. Even though we may speak, you know, designation is not important, but in the heart of our heart, the conditioned heart, we take pleasure in connecting ourselves with that position. We see in the Brahmacharya Ashram also, unless that service is designed or assigned, this is your service, you are in charge, the natural tendency is not there. And if that position is not given, and if somebody is doing that service, there is immediately a disturbance. I am doing this service, but I am not given this position. That is a natural situation of a conditioned soul who is trying to struggle to practice devotional service. He has to be given a designation. And if that designation is taken away from him, his consciousness is also polluted. We see many times, we have that tendency. We say, oh, this is a politics against me. People are pulling down. You know, they are doing politics against me. They are pulling down. They are not giving me opportunity to practice devotional service. That is our natural conditional character. But Chitraketu Maharaj, what to speak of taking away his designation, rather he was pulled down. He was thrown to the species of demon, where there is no facilities to practice devotional service. But when he was given that order, when he was cursed by Mother Parvati, he came down without even slight disturbance. And he prayed to Mother Parvati. It is all arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, to see Krishna's hand and good, bad, and beyond good and bad takes a greater understanding, the greater depth of one's consciousness. And when Vritrasura said that, Chitraketu Maharaj said that, Lord Shiva became very fascinated. He said, "My dear Parvati, just see the character of those who are devotees of Lord Narayan. This is their main character. What is their main character? What is the best character of a devotee of Lord Narayan? How can you judge that he is a devotee of Lord Narayan? That when such a devotee is put in a very difficult situation, he becomes very excited to continue to render devotional service." Then he said, "Narayana para kuta," what is that? "Narayana para sargana bhibhastati." That Lord Shiva said, those who are rendering service to Lord Narayan, they do not fear any situation. hell or heaven. And this verse, and Tattenu Kampa Susamikshamana, if you read, Prabhupada repeatedly quotes in the purport and repeatedly quotes this verse in his lectures. And therefore, Lord Shiva told Mother Parvati, you think you are most beautiful, but see the beauty of the devotee of Lord Narayan. He does not fear any situation. So it was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna, to show the character of great devotee. Even when they are punished, the apparent punishment, what does it do? They don't suffer the reaction of the punishment. Rather, their devotional service simply increases even when there is no facility. Like someone was saying, Prabhupada preached Krishna consciousness where there was no market to preach. That is the tendency, that is the natural tendency of a devotee. Even if there is no facility to practice Krishna consciousness, rather than objecting his karma, rather than complaining about his background, he finds greater facility by his right kind of disposition and continues to engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what we see in the character of Vritrasur. There was no facility to practice devotional service. Rather, he was opposing a devotee of the Lord. Indra is a devotee of the Lord. But even in that condition, his activities were so pleasing. Indra was struck there. He was standing there. Not only was acting as a Kshatriya, like someone was mentioning, that one great Kshatriya from Rajasthan, Rana Pratap Singh, everyone knows about him. When he would fight, he would have two swords. One he would be holding and one he would be hanging on his body. Why? If his opposing enemy, if he would lose his sword, he would remove his sword. He said, take it. So let us fight. Continue fighting. So that was his Kshatriya spirit. So Vritrasur, not only practicing that Kshatriya spirit, which is very rare in this age, but beyond that, he's exhibiting the character of a pure devotee. Like Madhavanand Prabhu was telling recently, that even when somebody practices devotional service properly, chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, then this conviction becomes very strong. When Krishna puts a devotee in a difficult situation, a devotee can actually overcome those difficulties and exhibit his conviction in devotional service. He was talking about Meru Devi, Damodar Pandit Prabhu's wife. She was diagnosed with cancer, and then they started giving treatment to her many places. And none of the treatment was working. One of their very close friends, he was very good in homeopathic treatment. He came, he was giving treatment, but the treatment was not working. So this man, he told them, he said, you should go to one sadhu, not a sadhu, a magician, who is called as God. He said, you go to him, and by his blessing, this disease will be cured. And there are many stories that this person has cured many chronic diseases. And instantly people have become there, his disciples, dedicated their life. So when this was told to his wife, the Meru Mataji, that he should go to this Baba, and then he will make everything auspicious for you. And she became so upset and angry. He said, I can't sell my soul. My soul has been offered to Prabhupada and Krishna. If Krishna has to cure, that is up to Krishna. And if Krishna has to kill, that is up to Krishna. In no condition, I will change my loyalty from being the servant of Srila Prabhupada and the Gaudiya Vaishnava principle than to practice something completely against the philosophy of Srila Prabhupada. And she died. Krishna took her away. But that conviction is so great, that's very inspiring. So here, Vritrasur, even though he's given a body of a demon, but his consciousness is not disturbed. And that is the power of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that bhakti is apratyata ahituki. At no point of time, there is a stop in one's devotional service. Only when we can actually practice such a devotional service, that is called as pure devotional service. Unfortunately for a sadhak, a practicing devotee, a leader has to work out, a spiritual master has to work very strongly to create a very favorable environment. At least in the beginning stage of his devotional life. And therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told that story of Balam rice and ghee. That story of a landlord, he could not hold a servant at his place. Every servant would come to him, work for some time, they quit. And this landlord went to his friend, he said, you know, nobody stays with me, no servant stays long with me. What is the solution? How can I make a servant stay longer in my place? And the landlord said, very easy, first 6 months, don't make him work. Every day, twice a day, thrice a day, give him balam rice and ghee. Balam rice is like, you know, something like basmati rice. Flavored basmati rice. And on top of that, there is a pure cow's yellow ghee. The rice is more nectarian than sweet rice. So every day he was feeding this rice and ghee to this servant. 6 months. And the servant became very conditioned. And then the landlord started giving him work. So okay, now you work 4 hours in the field. So he had taken balam rice and ghee. He would go and work in the field. From 4 hours it became 6 hours. From 6 hours it became 8 hours. From 8 hours it became 10 hours. And then the servant started complaining. You are giving me too much of work. I don't want to work with you. And then eventually he quit the job. He said, I'm quitting the job. He went away. But who will offer him balam rice and ghee? Then he came back to the landlord saying, look, he said, you have done so much favor for me and you're old man, I want to work for you. I'll continue working. Why? Because he was interested in balam rice and ghee. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this is the condition of a conditioned soul. He has no inclination to practice devotional service. And therefore the spiritual master has to create all facilities. Come here, you'll get balam rice and ghee. Hot chapatis with ghee. Only when that hot chapati and ghee is given, then he survives. Actually, this happened. We had one brahmachari in our temple. This was many years back. And we had a difficulty in making chapatis. We were experimenting. One day we would make bread, you know, which was not like a bread which is made in the Western countries. Or sometime we would make batis, which was not like made in the Rajasthan. So either bati or bread was not at all pleasing to devotees. They had to gulp. Eat some bread, drink some water or drink some chas or drink some dal. Very, very difficult. And there was this devotee, very strong, very stout. When you would see that there is no chapati, he would come and complain to our president Devamrupu. What is this Prabhuji? I can't survive without chapati. That was his complaint. Every day he would come and complain that there is no chapati. And eventually without chapati, life became so miserable for him, he quit the brahmachari ashram. He said, I can't stay here. Only for that, because he was not getting chapati. So that we can see that our conditioning is so strong that we need such an environment to practice devotional service. So our bhakti is not ahituki. It is circumstantial. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching that bhakti is causeless. Bhakti does not need any circumstance. And therefore, Vritrasur, as we read, as we progress in this chapter, his excitement to go back to the spiritual world becomes so great that the words he speaks are so profound and powerful. Sometimes some acharya says, there are these 4 verses, they will come in the future, where Vritrasura is comparing himself or expecting the mercy of the Lord just like an insect is waiting for, the bird is waiting for her mother bird to come back. For what? Because the mother bird is providing some insect. Or the calf is waiting for the mother cow so that the mother cow can give milk to the calf. Or the beloved is waiting for the lover, hoping that he will give his association. Similarly, Vritrasur says, I am just eagerly awaiting to go back to the spiritual world. to be in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, Nanakaprastam Nanaparamestam Narasadipatyam Nasarvabhaumim. He said, I do not desire to go to the Rasatal and attain some higher position, nor do I desire to go to the heavenly planets, just like Nadhanam Nasundarim. A Vritrasura demon is able to speak this kind of words, that I do not desire heavenly planets. And Indra is battling just to protect his heavenly planets. And here Vritrasura says, I don't desire. What do I desire? I desire to go back to the spiritual world. I'm very eager to go back to the spiritual world. Not sustaining my body, not holding back. And therefore we see, he accepts, this is my karma, that I've been raised in the demon's family. But by practicing devotional service, by acting according to my propensity, and offering that in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I want to go back to the spiritual world and render service to the Vaishnavas. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the words of the Vaishnavas, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is so dynamic. The Acharyas explain that the scriptures are passive, but the Vaishnavas are more active. When we read something in the literature, we read flat, we read as it is. Unless the purports are there, as Devamrita Swami Maharaj is explaining, anybody can do translation. But to understand the mood of the translation, we need the heart of the great Acharyas. They can explain properly. Therefore, when we see in the life of great devotees, when they practice devotional service, then the Bhagavatam becomes very active. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we see, greatest of the great devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would practice such a devotional service. Their disposition of the heart was so great. Here Vritrasura as a demon, it is natural. Because as a devotee, he is condemning his birth, he is condemning his background, he wants to get rid of his karma and go back to the spiritual world. It may be quite natural. But Lord Chaitanya himself, we see after converting Prakashananda Saraswati, Lord Chaitanya smashed Prakashananda Saraswati along with his 60,000 disciples. They were so powerful and strong in their homeland, in their home ground. In their home ground, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fighting with 60,000 people. He is one player and there are 60,000 players. And he defeated all of them. Naturally, it gives rise to pride. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami explains, next day, when they met at the Bindu Madhava temple, Lord Chaitanya was dancing in the kirtan and Prakashananda Saraswati came. Just imagine the scene. Prakashananda Saraswati has been defeated thoroughly, and the person who has defeated him, he is there dancing in the kirtan. And Mahaprabhu saw Prakashananda Saraswati and fell at the feet of Prakashananda Saraswati. And Prakashananda Saraswati was surprised. And he clasped the feet of Lord Chaitanya. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, you should not be doing this. And Lord Chaitanya said, he said, Tumi Jagat Guru. He said, you are the guru of the entire world. No sarcasm involved in there. He said, my position, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I am not even the disciple of your disciple. And Srila Prabhupada writes his purport. He says, Mahaprabhu, by his humility and magnanimity, conquered the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati. This is Vaishnavism. So difficult to practice. When we defeat someone, you know, we take such a pride. Even as a Vaishnavas, when we defeat someone, in their philosophy, there is some kind of perverted happiness we derive. It is not spiritual happiness, some kind of perverted happiness. But here Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after defeating Prakashananda Saraswati, he is begging at his feet and he is saying, I am not even a disciple of your disciple. And then again we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Rupa and Sanatan, such a great people, they were the minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. Such a big, big job they had. Naturally, one can be very proud, quoting his background. Just say, I was working this place. I was the minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. But that job caused them great distress in their heart. And this is the theme in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the character of Rupa and Sanatan. Whenever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to praise Rupa and Sanatan, many times Rupa and Sanatan say, Nicha Jati, Nicha Sanghi. He said, my family is low born. My activities are low born. And only because of your kindness, you have given this mercy upon us. Sanatan and Rupa continuously say this. So therefore, when Rupa Goswami, when he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag, Vallabha Bhattacharya came there, Vallabhacharya. And he saw Rupa Goswami chant continuously the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He was so fascinated that Rupa Goswami holding a straw in his mouth, having a cloth in his neck, that is a sign of being a very low born, and continuously was repeating the holy name of the Lord. And seeing that, Vallabhacharya became very fascinated. He wanted to embrace them. He went closer to Rupa Goswami. Again, just imagine the scene. He's coming closer and Rupa Goswami is going behind. He said, do not touch me, I'm so fallen. Don't touch me. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to test Vallabhacharya, he said, come on, don't touch. He said, you are such a high Brahman, you will be contaminated if you touch these two brothers. But Vallabhacharya was not a smaller devotee. He knew Mahaprabhu is testing him. He said, no, how can they be fallen? He said, they are continuously chanting the holy name of the Lord. And he quoted from the third canto, Yan Namadeya Shravananu Kirtanat, Yat Pravaranad Yat Smaranad Api Kochit, Shaddopi Shadda Shavanaya Kalpate, Kuta Punaste Bhagavanu Darshana. He said, even if someone is born in a Chandala family, but if he is chanting the holy name of the Lord, he should be worshipped. They are so great. So he could acknowledge the quality of Rupa Goswami. But their disposition, the Rupa and Sanatan's disposition was always condemning themselves. Always seeking the mercy of devotees and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even they had such a position. Sometime in our service, in our engagement, taking so much of responsible service, we forget this culture of interacting with Vaishnavas with a desperation that I need your mercy. Even with one spiritual master, because of the proximity, if someone is doing very tangible service, there is a tendency to act as if equals. Srila Prabhupada talked about one of his god brother. We should not be talking, but just to make a point, Prabhupada said that he thought that he is a partner to his spiritual master. He thought that we started business together and I was one partner and my Gurudev was another partner. So therefore, we fail to recognize that even though we may be doing some efficient work of preaching, managing, but greatest management is that desperation that I am helpless. Any time I can fall down from devotional service. And this character we see when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the place of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is there, Sanatan Goswami is there, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. Now who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is the Supreme Lord. He has all the knowledge of all the scriptures. In fact, the scriptures come from him. And Sanatan Goswami, Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami that your body is my property and I want to use you as my instrument and excavate the lost holy places. Just see what a service Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatan Goswami. He said, your body is my property. What a mission. The mission is that to excavate all the lost holy places, to establish the worship center and teach Vaishnava etiquette and write the Shastras, the conclusion of the Shastras. Without the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, we don't have any understanding about any scriptures. That was the service given to Sanatana Goswami. Big task. So big task always, the tendency is there. The big task always makes you feel that you are something important. And that sensitivity is lost. One becomes more and more intellectual. One becomes more and more mental. And that sensitivity of the heart is lost. He loses that innocency of a Vaishnava. But here Sanatana Goswami, Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are meeting, and discussion is so sentimental from a spiritual point of view, not from a mundane point of view. It is so sentimental, so sensitive. Sanatana Goswami saying, "My dear Lord, don't touch me." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, "You know, I'm a sannyasi, I cannot make the discrimination, I have to touch everybody." And Haridas Thakur is saying, "My dear Lord, don't trick us. You are not acting as an ordinary sannyasi. You are so merciful and magnanimous, you are giving your mercy to us." So Lord Chaitanya is embracing, Sanatana Goswami is crying, Haridas Thakur is crying. They're interacting in such an innocent way, even though they're the greatest of the scholars. And that is the Vaishnavism. And this is what we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If this principle is not practiced, we can overcome all other faults. I was discussing with some devotees that in Kali Yuga, as Shukadeva Goswami explains, that there are unlimited faults. Kalar dosha nidhirajan. Shukadeva Goswami explains it as a nidhirajan. It's an ocean of faults. But there are greatest faults. What is that? Quarrel and hypocrisy. And these are the greatest fault. While seeing the small ocean of fault, one fault of the ocean, we overlook the two most important faults of quarrel and hypocrisy. And we engage in quarrel and hypocritical behavior. Why quarrel? Because we do not feel the desperation to take that shelter of that devotee. We don't feel that he can offer a shelter. And therefore, we have the audacity or daring to have a difference of opinion and stay away from that Vaishnava. But here, Vritrasur is so desperate to go back to the spiritual world to be in the association of Narada Muni. He is as good as Narada Muni. His character, his qualities, his position is as big as Narada Muni. But still, he is desperately awaiting to go back to the spiritual world and render service to Narada Muni. And that is the heart of Vaishnavism. And that is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they keep on discussing these points. And when we hear the holy scriptures like Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, then our understanding becomes deeper. Then our conviction becomes solid. And then when Krishna or the devotees offer some kind of control in our spiritual life, some kind of reprimanding or some kind of punishment, because every ashram has certain discipline. Without discipline, one cannot make progress. Accommodating everything, all kinds of behavior, and not rectifying those behavior by the superior authorities is very detrimental to our spiritual life. I was reading one story. One disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a sannyasi. And as a sannyasi, along with sannyas comes a facility. Like Maharaj was speaking about Jananivas Prabhu's appearance day. Sometimes people take sannyas so that they can be independent of authorities. Because sannyas ashram gives that facility, become independent. So the sannyasi disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, without informing anybody, went for Badrinath Yatra. And this was brought to the notice of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent a message. He said, when he comes to the mutt, from Badrinath he came to Kurukshetra mutt, the message was sent, and the temple mathadish, the president of that mutt, was a brahmachari. And this sannyasi was much senior to this brahmachari. And the sannyasi came, and the order was given, if this sannyasi comes, do not allow him in the mutt. He should not be given facilities to stay in the mud, just for going the holy places. And the president was shocked. He said, he's a sannyasi, senior to me, 15 years senior to me. How will I handle? How will I stop him? In those days, there was no email, so the letter was sent. The letter was there, and the president showed, look, from the central mutt, from Calcutta, this news has come that he should not be allowed. He said, if it is your position like that, you are much senior to me, what will be my hope of practicing devotional service? He didn't take pleasure in punishing. Rather, he felt that if you are such an advanced sannyasi, if you are reprimanded, what will happen to me? So sannyasi was not very angry with him, but he was so frustrated. He could not understand why such a punishment. He came back to Calcutta, and his authorities told, give up your sannyas danda and give up your sannyas name for 1 year. Just imagine, for going to a holy place, that was the punishment awarded. No sannyas danda for 1 year and give up your sannyas name. He became so upset. He was so frustrated. He knew that it is coming from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And eventually approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he carried the shoes of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, Guru Maharaj, here is your shoes and here is my head. He said, rather than punishing me like that, you take your shoes and hit me hundreds of times on my head. He offered his head to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you think I get pleasure in punishing you? He said, there is no pleasure in punishing you. But one has to establish the standard. And this devotee himself narrated this story to another devotee. He said, when Saraswati Thakur told him that, you know, he does not take pleasure in punishment, but it is a system where to discipline a devotee, he needs to be punished. And he has to take the punishment. And all that frustration evaporated. And he felt completely light. So therefore, while practicing devotional service, as Vritrasura is punished by Mother Parvati, she was an instrument organized, orchestrated by the Supreme Lord. But Vritrasura is not a sadhaka. He is the great devotee of the Lord. But punishing great devotee, what does it do? It simply glorifies the process of devotional service. It enhances the character of devotees. It brings it in the forefront. Just see what kind of devotees these are. One should not be focusing on, oh, just see, even they are punished. No, the punishment is there, but the greater than the punishment, we look, how do they react to the punishment? The reaction to the punishment is what? Their character is brought to such a glory. It is so glorified as we read the further verses of Vritrasura. It simply brings out his real character, a greater character. So similarly, a sadhaka, especially one who's accepted voluntarily, accept the discipline of spiritual life. If that discipline is not there, we become very spoiled devotees. And then eventually the material nature will punish us. In the form of certain calamities, in the form of certain difficulties. And if you are not taught by our authorities to accept a certain punishment, when this punishment comes, then our real nature is exposed. And then we can't handle it. And the first thing what happens is that we minimize our chanting, we minimize our association of devotees. We don't feel the need of being with the devotees as felt by Vritrasura, as felt by the great devotees, as felt by Prahlad Maharaj, as felt by Dhruva Maharaj, as felt by Parikshit Maharaj. As Parikshit Maharaj, when he is about to quit his body, what benediction he desired? He said, let there be remembrance of Krishna. Let there be association of great devotees and compassion to the fallen conditioned souls. These three benediction he aspired from Sukadeva Goswami. He didn't ask for going back to the spiritual world. Rather, he asked complete remembrance of the Lord and association of the Vaishnavas in a helpless condition and a compassion in nature or friendliness to all the living entities. This is the highest benediction one can aspire. And that is what Vritrasur is presenting. He is exposing his heart of a great devotee. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. In this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about how if we get the mercy of a Vaishnava, then, you know, we are, then our chances, then we are guaranteed of going home back to Godhead. So Prabhupada makes a very powerful statement over here. So sometimes we see that when we come in the association of devotees, we are not able to make some Vaishnavas happy. We make some Vaishnavas happy, but you're not able to make some of the Vaishnavas happy. So then we're always in a dilemma, we are in anxiety as to why is it that I'm not having nice relationship with some of the Vaishnavas, you know, and if I'm not having nice relationship with them, it would mean that my spiritual life would get hampered. So then we try and make effort at initiating relationship with those Vaishnavas, but still we are not successful. So in such circumstance, and sometimes it happens that devotees leave their bodies without establishing proper relationship with those Vaishnavas. Would it mean that our progress on our way back to Godhead would be hampered in such a situation?
Again, one is the practical situation and one is the disposition of our consciousness. Another very important story, lesson we learned from Mahabharata also, that when Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was told by the Lord, Pandavas were forced, they were forced by the Supreme Lord to fight the battle. They didn't desire to fight, neither they had the aspiration to become the kings of the world, but Krishna literally forced them. When Krishna came as the Shantidur to Hastinapur, if you read the Mahabharata, everyone, including Bhima, was talking about making peace. He said, go there and try to be peaceful. Try to make peace. We'll be satisfied with 5 villages. Even Bhima. And Krishna had no plans. He went there to agitate the Kauravas. Because he wanted the Pandavas to fight. He spoke Bhagavad Gita. The whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So that Arjuna can fight. So the Lord knew that the Pandavas have no desire to fight. But he forced. And the Pandavas knew that they are fighting on behalf of the Lord. So even though they knew they are fighting on behalf of Krishna, when the battle was over, they didn't take pleasure in destroying the Kauravas. Rather, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says, I'm like a dog. He said, Kshatriyas are like a dog. He says, hell with the Kshatriya clan. He said, a Kshatriya is like a dog, barking towards another dog for a bone. He said, that is my disposition. Even though he's working on behalf of the Supreme Lord, he considered himself as a dog. And he said, I am responsible for this holocaust, this destruction. Just he had all reason to justify, because Krishna is giving certificate that you are fighting on my behalf. No sin will occur to you. You will not be sinful. But what was his heart? He said, I am responsible. Because of my selfishness, I fought this battle. He did. Whatever practically it was required, he did that. But in his heart of the heart, he was not at all happy. And therefore, Lord Krishna, Vyasadeva and the Brahmanas asked Yudhishthira Maharaj to perform that Ashwamedha sacrifice as an act of repentance. So therefore, when some service is given to a devotee, and it is unfortunately quite natural that in the community of devotees, it becomes very difficult to please everybody. Kind of service is offered. Very unfortunate. Like, you know, we see how the GBCs are always in that difficulty. If you do something, you're damned. If you don't, you'll be damned. Do it, you'll be damned. Don't do it, you'll be damned. Very difficult situation. So it is natural that you know, you may unconsciously may hurt some devotees because they may not understand properly. But you don't take pleasure. I don't care. Who cares? If that is our disposition while rendering devotional service, then that is very risky. Yes, we do our service. We have to render our service because the mission is there. Guru's order is there. But even if it is a guru's order, we do that service. But if some devotees are hurt by that, there has to be some endeavor. And if that endeavor fails, at least there has to be some kind of feeling that I could not please that devotee. And this way we are safe. Sometime, you know, we see again that there is a tendency, you know, my intentions are very clear. My guru knows my service, my authorities know my service. My intention is very clear that I don't want to hurt. But if somebody is hurt by my talking, what can I do? That udasinta, that neutrality is also not very good. From the Shastric point of view, that better take another step. That rather than feeling what can I do, you take a step to change it. But if it doesn't change, you still feel that I could not please this devotee. That is a very safe position. Rather than feeling, you know, who cares, my service is important. And therefore, in the name of having a good intention, we see sometimes those who are very efficient in their service, very expert. And their intentions are also very good. But they tend to offend devotees quite often. And but they still justify, you know, my intentions are very clear. But he doesn't understand the greatest service is not to offend devotees regularly. If their perception is wrong about us, we have to rectify that perception. Try to rectify that perception. Like Navin Nirad Prabhu gave a very profound realization when he came to Punayatra. He was talking to us. He said, as a book distributor, you know, what was his record? 9 times or 10 times he was world champion. And because he had to render service of distributing books, he was saying sometime in that enthusiasm of rendering service, if the situation or the people would not offer me service, I would force. I would actually, you know, storm in, you know, demand for the service, take my service and do that service. And felt pleasure, just say I am rendering my service. The most important service to Srila Prabhupada. But in that event of rendering service, he said, I landed up hurting many devotees. Didn't take notice of that principle. Such a, you know, he said, yes, Krishna used me to learn my own lessons. Sometime our service may be little slow because of dealing all this thing, but it will be long. You know, for the rest of our life, we'll continue to serve like a tortoise. Slow, but sure. But not like a rabbit. You know, fast, but then over. For the rest of your life, you sleep. You render some time service for a few years, like Maharaj is talking about, Radhananda Maharaj is telling, that our devotional service should not be like a fire in the frying pan. When we give bhagar, chonk, the best chonk is that when you offer, when you put some chili, when you offer some cumin seeds, immediately there is a fire in the pan. But how long that fire remains in the pan? Doesn't stay for a long time. It comes and it goes off. So similarly in devotional service, especially in the community of devotees, one cannot overlook those devotees who are rendering devotional service. And we may be very, very good in our service. We can't trample. In fact, that is the nature of the mundane world. Shaman was saying that when he was studying management, one of his professors would tell that if you want to make progress, you have to trample upon somebody else's head. We can't apply the same principle in devotional service also. If I want to progress and please my spiritual master, I will trample on other Vaishnava's head. We may not speak this verbally, but it may happen unconsciously by our aggressive behavior. We can't afford that. It's very risky and dangerous. But those devotees who are very considerate, sensitive, we see, you know, Maharaj himself, Jananivas Prabhu, Niranjan Maharaj, many of them, you know, they were very considerate about others. And therefore, not only Krishna gave them service, lifelong service, important service, and very effective service also. Rather than being a frying in the pan, they are steady, you know, like gobar gas, continuously, you know, the gas is supplied for the rest of, as long as the gas of humility is there, the gobar is there, then you continue to supply the fire. That is the... I am speaking just whatever heard from devotee's mouth, no realization. But it is a very important principle to understand. And by the grace of devotees, we can, you know, apply this principle and make progress in devotional life. But they are very important. Shigaram, yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you talked about Krishna's plan and karma. Now, just to understand better, when is it the same, when is it different? Is there a subtle difference between the two? I was not clear.
Krishna's plan and one's karma. If it is better to feel it is my own karma to suffer rather than to think that it's Krishna's plan. Because that is of a higher level of devotion. You know, if I do some mistake, like Prabhupada, that story is there, one Mataji, she offered Charanamrit with salt in that. When Prabhupada sipped that Charanamrit, it was salt. Prabhupada said, "Who made this?" And somebody pointed out, "This lady did it." And Prabhupada said, "Why you did that?" She said, "It was something like, it was Krishna's arrangement." Prabhupada said, "No, it's your fault." So similarly, let others see as Krishna's arrangement and let us see that it is my own karma. Unless we see it is my own karma, you know, my birth in a family which is not high family, to recognize that, like this principle which Jayadevata Maharaj taught in one of his seminars, recognize, repent, rectify and reunion. Unless you recognize your constitutional nature being servant of Krishna, unless you recognize your conditional nature because of your previous karma, unless you recognize your present situation, you can't repent. Repentance means what? That you take blame on yourself. Anger means what? That others are responsible. So therefore, when you take the blame of, you know, that mistake, it's my own karma, then you don't consider to be very, very advanced devotee. Rather, you consider that I'm such a low devotee. It's my own karma I'm suffering. It is not the divine arrangement. Yes, others, let Krishna say it, let the scripture say it, let the spiritual master say it, let Vaishnava say it. But we should say, that is my own karma I am suffering, as Vritrasur is saying. Nowhere Vritrasur says that it is the arrangement of the Lord. It is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur saying, is that it was the arrangement of the Lord. But Vritrasur is saying, by my own karma I am suffering. In fact, the conclusion of Lord Narsingdev's advice to Prahlad Maharaj is a very beautiful verse. He said, Kushalena punyam, bhogena punyam, kushalena papam, kalevaram kala kalena jitva. He said, Lord Narsingdev said, you enjoyed your, if you are enjoying something, you understand that is your punya karma. You are suffering and don't react to that suffering, then you are destroying your papa karma. So Lord Narsingdev in conclusion is again bringing back, rather than, you know, talking about pure devotional service, he is giving how a devotee should see. It is my own bad karma for which I am suffering. If something good is happening, that is the grace of my previous connection with the family. Like Parikshit Maharaj, again, when we read Bhagavatam very carefully, especially the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, he said, why Sukadeva Goswami came there in the first place? He said, not because of my devotion, because I am connected to the Pandavas. Because of their devotional service, they are devotees, I am nobody. Some other I came in their family. And because of their connection, I have come here. So that is how a devotee looks. That it is my karma. Something is going wrong. To see Krishna's arrangement, yes, it is Krishna's arrangement. But before that, we also have to see it is my own karma. And we may see that, oh, I am because such a devotee, Krishna is arranging for me to establish the glories of devotional service. No, he is just giving my quota. I am suffering my own karma. I have to go through this. then I make an advancement in spiritual life. Otherwise, it's very risky. Like Srila Prabhupada explains, when Bali Maharaj offered, he said, I offer my offer the third step, the land. He told Vamandev that you get three steps of land. And he had nothing to offer the third step. He said, where will I keep the third step? He said, on my head. So even there was some kind of self-consciousness. I have something to offer. I have my own head. The owner owns the property. Now you lost the property, but the owner is there. The owner is greater than the possession. So still, of course, even that self-sacrifice is so difficult to offer. But here, Prabhupada is saying that even that some pride was there, that I am offering something. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches beyond self-sacrifice. What does it teach? It teaches that I am nobody. I am so fallen. I have nothing to offer. I am just depending on the mercy of the devotees. So that more than self-sacrifice, because in that self-sacrifice there is still that feeling that I have something, I offered it. So I am offering my body. That heroic nature is there. But in the character of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, he said, we have nothing to offer. We are simply hoping for your mercy. We are like dwarf trying to catch a moon. If you find our qualities, there is no chance of going back to Godhead. But by hearing about your greatness, the desire is developed in our heart. And that brought tears in the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, my heart is breaking. Stop your humility. No, that is the nature of pure devotee. They break the heart of the Lord by their humility. And the nature of a sadhaka is that he breaks the heart of a guru and Krishna by complaining, by his false ego. This happened to me, that happened to me, this devoted this to me. Gurudev, hear this from me. You know, constant complaint about some other devotees. Heaps of letters. Sometimes we see, you know, why gurus don't respond to their disciples. Because the letter is filled with something happened to me, somebody this to me. You know, this is how they dealt with me. And you come and rescue me. After all that teaching, if we still write 5-page letter complaining to the spiritual master how this devotee treated me, what can a spiritual master do? Then not respond to the letters. Very practical. So therefore here, you know, our acharyas like Rupa and Sanatan, rather than thinking that I am offering something, they are saying we have nothing, we are simply waiting for your mercy. Therefore, the acharyas explained, greater than self-sacrifice is the principle of humility. That I have nothing to offer. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this 4 important principle for a devotee to make advancement. One is he taught tolerance through the character of Haridas Thakur. He taught humility through the character of Rupa and Sanatan. He taught the character of indifference through the behavior of Damodar Pandit. And he taught incontinence, self-control through the character of Ramananda Roy. And these are the most important character for devotees. And Prabhupada writes another place about ideal devotee. Quoting Sanatana Goswami. He was a great scholar, but extremely humble. And had a great renunciation. Because renunciation and scholarship attracts opulence. Just see, renunciation unfortunately attracts opulence. That is the nature in this world. When you are wanting to be greatly renounced, people are so attracted by that renunciation, they want to offer you opulence. Take this. Like one time, you know, Radhanath Maharaj, somebody had given him a lot of clothes. And then he told, he was just desperately throwing all of them. He said, when I was a brahmachari, I didn't have any clothes. I had a torn clothes. He said, take this all. Since I'm a sannyasi, people keep offering many things. So there has to be that disgust. So when renunciation is, that opulence comes. And then immediately that opulence makes us attracted. And we maintain our so-called renunciation, but we are attracted to this opulence. jukebox comes, laptop comes, iPod comes, and then nice travel comes, nice clothes come. That is the unfortunate situation for... Sometimes we discuss that we brahmacharis enjoy more opulent prasad than real rich grihasthas also. Because we are in the brahmachari ashram. Every day there is a feast. Today there is a feast in the evening. So naturally, renunciation attracts opulence. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that he was renounced, maintained his renunciation, even the reaction of the renunciation, he did not utilize it, Sanatana Goswami. And great scholar, but humility was maintained. He said, that is the ideal character of a devotee. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, Ramananda Roy, Sanatana Goswami is exactly like you only. He's a renounced, he's a scholar, and he's most humble. Ramananda Roy was actually born in a Shudra family, but condemns himself. And Sanatana Goswami was born in a high-class Saraswat family, but never he ever said that I'm born in a Saraswat family. Rather, Prabhupada writes. But what did he say? Repeatedly everywhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita, whenever he is meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, continuously talks, Nicha Jati, Nicha Sanghi. He said, my family is low-born, my association is low-born. Therefore, when Amrish Prabhu came to our temple first time, very profound statement he made. I immediately remember Sanatana Goswami's statement. When he came, when he was introduced, I think Maharaj only introduced him, that he's Amrish Prabhu, dear to Prabhupada, having the family, born in a fold family. And he said, I come from a wayward family. That was the beginning of his talk. He said, I come from a wayward family. Just imagine. So famous, but he introduced himself as what? I'm coming from a wayward family. Not very good family. And we sometime come from some so-called good. And then we keep on beating the drum. You know, I am this from Brahman from South India, Palgad Brahman, right? Or some Banaraska Brahman or Udpi Brahman or from Ratnagiri Brahman or born in a Kshatriya family. This is my background. And therefore, unfortunately, the mercy doesn't flow. There is a drainage in the system of flow, it gets rusted and there is a blockage. But there is a flow of that consciousness, wayward family. It was very striking. That's how you begin. And when he completed by quoting or narrating his receiving of Prabhupada's mercy, he was crying tears. He stopped his class by crying tears. He didn't take pride in getting mercy of Prabhupada. Rather he felt so humbled that Prabhupada was bestowing his mercy upon him. Such a fantastic... You know, he may be... From a materialistic point of view, a rich man, all wealth is there, all Vishay Sangha is there in his family. But the consciousness was so inspiring than many brahmacharis and sannyasis also sometimes. Wayward family and then concluding with, I don't deserve the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and tears in his eyes. We have heard many lectures in the temple, very inspiring, very scholarly. But then these kind of talks, given by not so devotee in the forefront, just speaking, not even so scholarly, but that consciousness, wayward family and crying tears because of mercy, I could still, you know, see that lecture, remember it very clearly. So these remain in our heart. The scholarly talks, intellectual talks, they stay in the brain for some time, and somebody else comes and he removes that. And somebody else comes, he removes that. They are like, you know, heavy. It's like a blowing wind. But they don't touch the heart. They just create some kind of sensation. But what creates the sensation is, you know, crying tears and saying that I come from a wayward family. I still remember very clearly, tears in his eyes and calling, saying that. And that's what whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, including Mahaprabhu, in front of Prakashananda Saraswati, Mayavadi Sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya is offering obeisances to him after converting him with his 60,000 disciples. But sometimes we see, like Shyamala Prabhu was saying, in Maharashtra there is a custom. If a speaker is giving a talk, after his talk is over, people come to offer him obeisances. He said, Maharaj, darshan diya. And he extended his feet. Gya darshan maza. He extended his feet and people are touching and he's like least bothered giving his darshan, touching his hand on their head. You know, I'm willing to give you my blessings. But here, you know, Mahaprabhu is touching the feet of Prakashananda and Saraswati. So I'll stop here. I took a long time. Went beyond my time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.